It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Well, Tom Nalen, you've got me excited about this Broncos defense, even more than I am when I'm out there watching them at OTAs at Dove Valley. Cecil Lammy sitting in for D-Mac. But the offense, a work in progress, something that needs adjustments. Offensive line needs to play better. They had better run the ball. If they're going to play great defense, a running game goes hand in hand with that. Now, Joe Flacco's impact on this offense.
Well, I was going to say, the running game, Joe Flacco's best when he can do play action. And
right.
There's no play action without a decent running game, the threat of a decent running game, because it just creates more pockets in the coverages.
So everything hinges on whether or not they can run the ball effectively.
Right.
Everything. Derek Wolfe.
And that's actually, if I was going to pick a strength of Garrett Bowles, it would be in the running game.
Especially because he's left tackle.
With this run game as well, because he's athletic enough to be able to do the zone blocking style.
He can work in a wide zone, for
right.
sure.
For
because
sure.
of his athleticism.
Yeah, he is. He's extremely athletic.
You've gotten me excited about the Broncos defense, more so. Derek Wolfe today kind of got me excited about what he thinks of this Broncos offense.
I thought, you know, this was one of the best drafts that I've seen us pick up as far as the guys that we picked up. And, I'm just really happy about the team. It's got a whole new feel offensively. You know, you got Joe Flacco over there who's doing a great job of running the show over there. And, our offensive line looks really good. You know, they're playing as a unit. And it seems like they all are kind of starting to come together more, because there's a lot of mix and match going on, and it's hard to like really build that that brotherhood whenever you're mixing and matching too many guys. You know, now that those guys are all kind of settled in, you know, that you can tell that they're like, you know, I see them every morning. They're eating breakfast together. They all lift together. You know, they do everything together, and that's being around. You know, for 7-8 years, you know, you see what great offensive lines do. And that one thing they do is they care about each other and they love each other and they treat each other like family. So, you know, that's what I'm seeing on that side of the ball.
That was from my question about Dalton Reisner.
Right.
He answered about Dalton Reisner, and then he continued about how excited he was about this offensive line.
Right. And he's right when he says mixing and matching, because Juwan James right now is out with a hip. So Wilkinson is playing right tackle. Now Ron Leary is getting reps now. He's healthy enough.
But last week, Don Barkley was in at right guard.
So there is a kind of a mixture of guys right now through health reasons and trying to decide, you know, who's the best five guys.
They're dabbling. So,
yes, but Munchak is able to see these guys working with the ones against the one defense, which is a great way to assess players at this stage. And people might think OTAs and well, they're just in helmets, so and game shirts, that you can't really get much out of it. But offensive line play and defensive line play, like I said, when we had hat day, it was like full go. I mean, you can tell you don't need to have shoulder pads on to figure out. Yeah, it's hard to tell who's going to be aggressive tackling when there's no pads, but you can see footwork. You can see guys working together.
Timing.
Yeah, regardless of what you're wearing, hats, just helmets, you know, foam pads, shoulder pads, full pads, you can tell the same thing no matter what they're wearing. As long as the tempo is the right tempo, and I haven't been out there yet, but everything I'm hearing is that Vic Fangio is running an extremely high tempo style practices. So you can figure out how it's going to work, and you can figure out who are my best five guys now, because Juwan James, he's going to be there, but you're trying to figure out, well, you know, guys get hurt during the season and who's going to be backups, because that's important. You know, Wilkinson has proved that he can be a backup at right guard and right tackle, because he was able to start at right guard, but he's more of a tackle. He's a big dude. So It's good to hear Derek Wolfe recognize that these guys are hanging out and eating together and things like that, because that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying that, you know, you kind of band together. And for us, it was banding together against Alex Gibbs. But, you know, these guys seem like they're hanging out. Is Garrett Bowles part of that? I do not know. I know he doesn't work out with the guys when they're off campus.
Outside the building.
Right.
But they're having breakfast together, and they care about each other.
That's good. They got to have you. You know, I love knowing the fact that, you know, if something happened in practice or game, that there were guys that had my back. As far as if something happened, you know, Tony Jones would be, that dude would, it was very comforting to know that I had a guy like Tony Jones on my side. And, you know, they care about each other. It's important. I know it sounds odd to talk about offensive linemen, these huge, massive men caring about each other, but it's a weird dynamic within the group. It's the largest group in the team, not only size wise, but, you know, five guys every time are on the field together and they got to work together. Everybody has to be on the same page. So if you get five guys leaving the facility going five different directions, you're probably not going to be as cohesive as you'd like.
And Munchak the best knows lines that. You were a part of were the cohesive lines.
Yes.
And the worst lines you were a part of were not.
No. It was just a bunch of parts.
How did it get like that? And how do you turn that around?
It's just over time. I mean, it's maybe it was a generational thing, but because I feel like when I was young, guys could good-natured, you know, ripping on each other and things like that. And by the end, it was, you know, guys were more sensitive and you couldn't really kind of get away with what you were getting away with before. And
couldn't
it just,
razz them?
Right. So I wasn't as tight with some of the guys as I probably should have been.
That's just what guys do, though. Like, why were these guys all sensitive?
I don't know. But Garrett Bowles seems to be very similar. If he's not taking criticism, then you can't make fun of him. Right? I mean, it wouldn't go over well. It's going to create a rift.
It would be personal. Yeah, it would create a rift.
Right. So if Dalton Risner's, even though he's a rookie, is sitting there going, you know, is saying something in a joking way to Garrett Bowles, and Bowles doesn't take it the right way, how well are they going to work together?
They're not.
No.
But again, I don't think that's on Risner. I think that's on Bowles.
Oh, for sure.
It's on Garrett Bowles to improve his behavior and recognize
group.
That he needs to take to coaching. Whatever they're telling him, just listen. They care about you. They want you to work out. You're a first-round pick. You think Elway wants another first-round bust on his record? Like, they want you to work out. They care for you. Mike Munchak's the best to guide you.
We'll see, right?
We'll see come training
Maybe
camp.
Maybe not OTAs, like I said.
But you're saying, like, once the pads come on in training camp.
Oh, you got to see what he's made of now. I mean, this is the jump. This is year three. This is when you put it all together. He's becoming a veteran along the offensive line. I mean, Connor McGovern is basically the veteran guy now of that group. He's been here the longest. But Bowles isn't far behind. As far as years with the Broncos, he's becoming a veteran.
Another low snap out of the shotgun for Connor McGovern the other day. Should I be worried about that? I've asked Flacco about it. And then when we watched practice on Wednesday, it was like, here's another low snap.
It happened during the season last year.
Yes.
It's concerning because I think if quarterbacks had their way, if there was going to be a bad snap, it would be high.
Yeah.
It's when they have to bend down and pick up the ball, then look back up, and then, you know, the receivers and corners and linebackers, they're all not where you thought
they
were.
Your timing's off. Everything's different.
Everything's different.
That's why I asked Connor about it like 2 weeks ago. I said, hey, is it a different target? Because knowing that Case had to take some off the blades of grass last year, not defending Case Keenum by my book, but like, you better get him right to Flacco because he's a bit taller.
No, it's not target. You basically do the same thing every time, regardless of who the quarterback
Can
is, whether it's Kyler
then?
Murray or... No, I was terrible. Elway used to stand about a half a yard to the right because my snaps were always to the right. So he was lined up in the gap between the center guard. I just couldn't ever straighten. Because I used to do direct snap to TD.
Okay.
So we'd be a nickel, and we used to run like a direct snap at 2 TD, and we'd do running plays. And once I started doing that, everything started going right, and I could never fix it.
Okay,
but
Connor
McGovern. As long as the quarterback knows where the ball is going to be for the most part every time, they can adjust. But when it's right on my hip, right on my hip, right on my hip, down by my feet, that's hopefully they get it worked out.
That creates a problem. John Elway has created solutions for this Broncos team, but where does he rank among the best GMs in the league? The answer will make you mad. Next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Where does John Elway rank among NFL GMs? Cecil Lammy sitting in for D-Mac. Tommy, if you were to just guess, and again, you know the answer.
I don't.
I think you know that. You don't know the answer.
I haven't looked.
Don't look. Ranking the NFL GMs. NFL.com, ranking the general managers around the National Football League. Where would you guess John Elway would rank?
12.
Okay, that's honestly pretty close to where I would have him, but NFL.com says differently. They say John Elway is the number 16 GM, middle of the pack. It says John Elway gets a lot of crap for his total incompetence when it comes to Denver's quarterback situation, and deservedly so. But the Hall of Fame quarterback has done a fantastic job building up the rest of the roster during his time in charge of the front office. Unfortunately for him, quarterback is the most important position to fill.
I mean, if you're basing the rankings strictly on quarterbacks, he'd be much lower on the list.
Do you know who I think the best general manager was in the NFL? He's retired now, but Ozzie Newsome.
From Baltimore.
Yeah. And Ozzie, I mean, Joe Flacco's not elite. It was a first-round pick, and it's a hit. It's a Super Bowl MVP, but it wasn't elite. It's not Pat Holmes.
No, but he was a consistent.
Yeah. Do you know how many GMs miss on quarterbacks?
Every one of them.
Yeah.
I just think you got to take his entire time here. Now, he wasn't technically the GM in 11 and then the 12 after the draft. It was more Brian Zanders, but he was still considered the GM.
Right.
So you got to take in the totality of his entire time here, and that is two Super Bowls with one win. How many GMs in the top 15 there have that on their resume? Just because you drafted a great quarterback. What's the Chiefs? I assume the Chiefs GM is probably high up there because he has Patrick Mahomes.
Because he got Pat Mahomes, even though that was Andy Reid that saw him,
But the GM gets credit for it.
Right. Brett Veach is actually 18 behind John Elway.
Who's one?
Number one on this list is Howie Roseman, Mr. Addicted to Trades for the Philadelphia Eagles. Bill Belichick's actually number two. He's knocked off his perch.
All right, guys have Lombardi trophies.
Chris Ballard with the Colts. Nothing there yet. John Schneider should perhaps be
Chris
ahead
Ballard
of Chris Ballard
at three.
John Schneider should be at three. Seahawks GM.
He got credit for drafting Andrew Luck at number one overall. Is that?
Hey, that can't miss guy. And good job in getting him.
And Quentin Nelson fell to him.
Right.
That's. It's a ridiculous list.
I put John Schneider there at three. Kevin Colbert with the Steelers is at five.
How long has he been there?
Colbert?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Steelers are one of those franchises that are extremely consistent.
Mm-hmm. And that should get a lot of credit in this.
And coaching-wise, the knock on Elway, I would say, is he's gone from the Super Bowl champions with Kubiak and then to Vijay and now onto another coach. I guess you could kind of knock him for that. Maybe his hire of Vijay, you could kind of say, well, that was a mistake. But in the two losing seasons, it's a weird time. You know, this list, if you were coming, even after the 2016 season, he would be in the top three because he had the recent Super Bowl win and a loss. And the loss wasn't on him. I mean, he put together a team that got the Super Bowl.
He put together a team that put up record points.
Yeah. Video game numbers.
Yeah. Star Wars numbers. Take that.
Week eight, that list will change dramatically.
Yeah, they have Eric DaCosta from the Ravens at seven. He just took over for Ozzie. Like, you can't, Eric DaCosta is a fine personnel guy, but you can't give him all the credit for what Ozzie just did. So, yeah, it's a pretty ridiculous list, and I don't think Elway's high enough. I don't think Elway would be top 10, but
the last two drafts have been really good. I said 12 because of, despite coming off back-to-back losing seasons and some poor quarterback choices, and Case Keenum is one of those, even though he wasn't a draft pick, but that's where I'd put him at 12. I mean, he built two Super Bowl teams, and they were distinctly different.
You think D-Mac will be back tomorrow?
No.
Then I need to ask you this, because I don't know if I'll
You'll be back tomorrow. So I'll answer it tomorrow.
Okay, well.
You think he's going to be back. All right, go ahead.
Does Drew Lock need to work out to change Elway's reputation about quarterbacks? Does Drew Lock need to work out? Like, if Drew Lock is a flop, then it's, oh, here's another Elway bust. Does he need to work out?
Flacco needs to work out as well. Because I think that was a safe thing for John. I think John's recognized that it's hard to choose a college quarterback. So I'm going to go next best thing. I'm going to trade for a proven veteran quarterback.
Okay. Rockies with the walk-off.
Walk-off, baby. And I wasn't even there for it.
But you talked about it.
Yeah.
So you made it happen. And they didn't have to go to position players for pitchers.
No, either. They didn't.
Although it was close, right?
It was close. I think they had Charlie Sheen was the only one left in the pen. Carlos Estevez.
Estevan. Estevez.
No, Emilio, I mean, Charlie Sheen's real name is Carlos Estevez. That's a little factoid for you.
That's what we do on this show.
He's a big man, though. He'd be a good-looking tight end. He's about 6'5", 230.
Sign him up, John Elway. All right, that's a wrap for today's program. Many thanks to you all for listening. Tommy, always a pleasure talking football with you,
good
brother.
Good time, man.
Richie, thanks for running the show. I'm Cecil Lammy saying look out and stay frosty. Shiny diamonds, like the eyes of a cat in the black and red.